A few minutes to open up Psalm 23 and make some observations upon it. I trust it will be appropriate and God will open up to us the riches of His Word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Many years ago, my wife and I went to see a very dear friend in San Diego. He had just been diagnosed at age 60 with inoperable cancer of the brain, a large tumor. He was a very, very dear friend. We were there with his wife. We just found out that he was in the Naval Hospital and we were admitted to the room. I'm going to try to keep this short, but there are some very precious things that I would like to share with you today. And as we left, I told him he was not alone, but that God's two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, were at the foot of his bed. He died and called me on the phone shortly before his death. And as his thoughts could be gathered, he said, "Brother Downing, I have a present for you. Long after I'm dead, when my pastor comes up to the conference this next summer, I'll have him bring the present for you." And the present was brought to me several months later. Ross was already long dead. His wife told me, she says, "I cannot even talk with my husband. He is living in a sphere of life and communion with God that I simply cannot enter." And so the box was given to me. We opened it up. Two stuffed toy sheepdogs. And they both had collars on them. We used to put them on the guest bed when we lived in San Jose just, you know, how women do stuffed animals and things like that. And one had a collar and it was written goodness. The other had a collar and it was written mercy. And that next year, I preached at a Bible conference at Dort College, the Calvinistic Dutch Reform College in Iowa. And I preached on Psalm 23. And I made much of goodness and mercy being God's two sheepdogs. And L.R. Shelton Jr., who used to have the Free Grace broadcaster before his death, a very good long-term friend of mine, had that message transcribed and put into booklet form, A Day in the Life of a Sheep, the Shepherd's Psalm. And a member who was in our church at the time took that booklet, got two toy sheepdogs, made a collar for one, goodness, and a collar for the other, mercy, and sent them to Francis Schaeffer. And on Francis Schaeffer's birthday, shortly before he died of cancer, the family sat down and read that little booklet from the message that I had preached at the conference. So this has quite a history and has put us in contact with people of great renown. David, I am convinced, wrote this psalm at the end of his life. And he likens his life unto a day in the life of a sheep. And if you are want to take notes, I will give you my outline. It's not original with me, but it does open up this psalm in its riches. Verse 1, the shepherd and the sheep. There were community sheepfolds in Israel. Most of the flocks of sheep were fairly small. Several shepherds would gather together and in a community fashion put their flocks together. And then early in the morning, shepherds would go in different directions with their various flocks. And as our Lord said in John chapter 10, He calleth His own sheep by name. The flocks would gather around their respective shepherds. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then we have morning in the meadows. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's a word in the Hebrew that is not translated in the English. Now, I will open up the text once I've given the outline. He leadeth me up beside the still waters. That deep canyon where the sheepfold was, the air was cold. But soon it would be hot and stagnant and filled with insects. And so they went up this very steep pathway on the side of this ravine to the high mountain pastures where the breezes would blow and there was much food up there. They would be free of the flies and whatnot. And I don't know if you're familiar with screw flies. We have them here in California. We've shot deer that were just mush because the screw flies would lay their eggs and the maggots would just burrow through the bodies. Well, sheep would always get infections. And they had to have ointment put in their nostrils and whatnot, and they had to be free from all of these insects. And I've seen cows in the pasture just running amok because the screw flies were trying to get into their nostrils and other parts of their body to lay their eggs and whatnot. So they're going to go up, up, up. After resting and getting a drink of water in the lush bottom pasture, up, up, up to the high afternoon pastures now. So He restoreth my soul. He brings me back when I'm wandering, but I'll open that up later. Then we have midday on the mountains. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Midday on the mountains, and now the evening and its evils. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's this steep path, rocky path, down through this great ravine with caverns and so forth. The sun is setting. The shadows are long. Jackals or wolves in David's day would be preying. And the shepherd is there to protect the sheep. Hear beasts of prey howling. Growling, lions were there, bears were there in David's day. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And then, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They're back to that lush pasture. And the sheep would get a few mouthfuls of food. The shepherd standing there, it's almost dark. And He's there to protect the sheep because in the darkness, unseen, beasts of prey are about. And then the shepherd would cup his hands and give the sheep a final drink and then look at the sheep, put the oil within its nostrils and a tear on the ear or something upon the hoof and anoint it and smear it with oil for its healing. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then into the sheepfold and its safety. The shepherd himself lies at the door of the sheepfold, and the two sheepdogs lie down with him. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the essence of the psalm. Now, Brother Gad is here with his Hebrew Bible open, my good Jewish brother. And I want to open some things up from the Hebrew text that make this psalm live as it simply cannot live in our English Bible. First, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh Roi. Occupations in Israel were usually described by participles. And I was going to make this short. I'll make it as short as I can. The Hebrew participle is very elemental and foundational. The Greek participle is the most complex, compound, expressive participle ever known to man. We simply in English cannot grasp the reality of the Greek participle, how it opens up the text, especially in relationship to a main verb. But the Hebrew participle, you have the perfect tense, completed action, the imperfect tense, incomplete action, and then the participle is reserved for something that is absolutely continuous. A continuity is always stressed. The Lord constantly shepherds me. The sheep have gone out. The shepherds call their respective flocks. Jesus said, the good shepherd calls all of his sheep by name. David said, God has called me to himself. He continually shepherds me. And therefore, I shall never, ever want. And that's emphatic. Never, ever. The imperfect tense with a strong negative low. I shall never, ever want. The sheep and the sheepfold. Now, morning in the meadows. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He causes me to do this. It's causative. In the Hebrew, he causes me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd is caring for his sheep. He leadeth me up beside the still waters. And that word leadeth in the Hebrew means to gently lead, as though we have a ewe and her little lambs with her. It's a gentle word. He's leading them up. There's a steep path. He's leading them up. And alongside the canyon and its sheer walls of rock, there's a seep spring that comes out and a pool of water. And that's been scooped out and a cover's been put on it. And as they're going up through there, they stop and they have a drink. He restoreth my soul. He always turns me back. The word can be used of conversion. He's bringing me back again. The sheep want to stray. He sends the sheepdog after them. He takes his sling and hits the sheep with a rock. You're shepherding the sheep is not an idealistic picture. Sheep stink. They're always wandering. They're contrary. They flee at this. They flee at that. They hate the sheepdogs. The sheepdogs bark at them, nip at them and everything. He always brings me back. Midday on the mountains. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, in the Hebrew, the word leadeth here is a different verb. And it's a strong verb. It's something like marching orders. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And the word path here means something that's deeply rutted. Why, those sheep had been going up for generation after generation after generation up to the high pastures. And the paths were very hewn into the rock and very rutted. Generations, hundreds of years of use. He leadeth me. Leadeth me, a strong word, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That, I believe, symbolizes the law of God. Unmistakable. God's moral law. We can't legislate morality. We don't have to. God already did it in Ten Commandments. All we have to do is be obedient to him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God does many things in our life for his name's sake. Why should this happen to me? Why does this have to happen to me? Why me? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Why shouldn't I do this? Why shouldn't I do that? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In your life and mine, it's the name of God that's at stake. Quite the opposite of modern-day Christian self-esteem. Now the evening and its evils, they start down. It's a steep, rocky path. How many of you have ever walked down a steep, rocky path with moccasin-style boots? You fall. Your feet go out from under you and you fall. He has his staff. And the preposition, for thou art with me, eim. The sheep's pressed up against his leg. He's going down very carefully. Im is that preposition in Hebrew, which is very close. Im Emmanuel, equally with us is God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which speaks of some terrifying experience and some foreboding times that we all experience. Yea, though I walk, do not run, do not panic, do not flee, do not misstep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never, ever fear any evil. Low plus the imperfect. Never, ever. A perpetual situation. I will never, ever fear any evil. Why? For thou art with me in the closest relationship. I see the sheep up against the shepherd's leg and the shepherd's going down there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd had a rod. He had a staff, we understand. He had a rod. It was a club. Sometimes it had pieces of metal sticking out of it. It was his primary means of defending the sheep and himself, sometimes at the very hazard of his life. Can I wander a moment? I'm going to anyway. The king's scepter. I watched the military channel and the history channel. I don't get the hunting channel, so I watch the military channel. And when they become field marshal, they're given the baton. Very ornate baton, symbol of power. Where did the king's scepter come from? The idea of the scepter, the symbol of power, came from the Hyksos in Egypt. In their dynasty, they were shepherd kings, and the shepherd's club became the scepter, the symbol of power and authority. It's continued to this very day. Thy rod, life and death. Someone would come to steal the sheep. A lion or a bear would come, has to protect the life. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now they're back to those pastures. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It's dark now. We hear the howls of a pack of wolves and beasts of prey. The shepherd stands there and puts his life on the line so the sheep can have its final meal and graze. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. There's a tear in the ear from a thorn bush. There's a bruise on the foreleg. The nostrils can never be dried out. They'll get a scab, and those flies will lay their eggs in there. So he goes over each sheep and ministers that olive oil with various spices and minerals and so forth put in there to heal the sheep, the constant ministry of the Holy Spirit. My cup runneth over. He scoops up water. Oftentimes they had a leather bucket, as it were, with double handles, and they would scoop it up and satisfy the sheep and then into the sheepfold. Goodness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the word follow in the Septuagint is dioko. It's from that root word. The Hebrew word means to pursue. I translate it dog my steps. And again, if you've ever seen sheepdogs work a flock of sheep, sheepdogs are not appreciated. The sheep do not love the sheepdogs. And if there's a great danger, the sheepdogs will actually run over the backs of the sheep to get to the other side of the flock to turn them. Surely goodness and mercy shall dog my steps. Not often appreciated. God in His goodness will do this. God in His mercy may do that. We don't understand. We don't appreciate. We hear the barking. We feel the bite. But goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, Yahweh Roi, or Adonai Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? No person is so miserable as the one who simply has mere religion, a list of do's and don'ts in the name of God, having little to do with God's grace, God's mercy, or God's law, but usually a graceless system. That's religion. But here we see, typically, the believer and God, that relationship, that loving, kind, protective relationship. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never, ever lack or want." Who is your shepherd? Who guides your life? Who sustains you in the hour of trial? And can you turn and know that God's goodness and God's mercy are there to sustain you, lead you, guide you, and correct you? This is what it means in Old Testament language to be a believer. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that it has been profitable, that the richness and the practicality and the glory of your word has ministered to us. Dismiss us, Father, with your blessing. Bring honor and glory to yourself. Might this day be as the Lord's day, a day of rest, and it be to us spiritually a time of revival. We ask this through Jesus Christ and all to your glory.